Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Health Blast Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher of Alternative Medicine and Wellness Radio. It is going to be a great year, 2015. We are going to have several of our guests who are inspirational, telling their stories, sharing a lot of their tips about how to live a holistic life and love it. We all have all kinds of challenges these days, and we say we'll try things. We don't get the greatest results, or sometimes it's just mediocre. But we're going to learn to love a holistic life. Isn't that great? We're going to learn that it's great to get up in the morning. It's fabulous if it rains, and it's absolutely incredible that we have these challenges and all of the things we can learn from that. And isn't life just a roller coaster? So thank you so much for joining us. Please check us out on Health Blast Radio on Facebook and also Health Blast 2015 on Twitter. Also our website, drjeanettegallagher.com, for more information. We also have a women over the age of 50 group starting February 1st, which will be sharing a lot of information about how to help us and ourselves. As we are women, we are also caregivers. We are also part of this world that will be bringing more compassion and empathy towards others. Please do join, and please do check it out on our website, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. And now, back to the show. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you with us here today. We're going to have a great conversation today. We're going to be flipping to the other side now. We've had quite a bit of heavier topics like domestic violence, Chinese medicine, heart cardiology, integrative cardiology, things that really have said, you know, I understand my physical being and maybe that I need to do certain things for my health and this is what I'm going to do. But now we're going to be talking about the law of attraction. We've all heard about the story and the books that came out and the movies about The Secret and the law of attraction. Well, everybody hears about it. They hear the words and they say, you know, I kind of get it. I kind of don't get it. I did what it said, but it didn't work for me. And there's some people that said, you know, I have no clue what you're talking about, and they have eyes kind of glazed over and they just kind of like, you know, that must be for, I don't know, maybe those hippies or those, you know, new age people. So whatever. But really we're going to be talking about what in your life is working, what isn't, and maybe trying to find a way to get to that core of yourself where you can find out what would work for you. What will help you? What will bring more joy into your life? What can help heal your heart? What is more important to you in this life rather than just going through the movements? Hey, we grew up in the earlys and the 50s and 60s, and you know what? It was absolutely crazy. Because there you were told, you know, here's what you're going to do. Go to school to do this. This is what your path is going to look like. And you better make darn sure you come out with a paycheck, a house, and kids on the other end. And then we turned around and said, now what? We have all these other decades of our life. What are we going to do? So really, here's where we are. We're here today talking about the law of attraction. My guest today is Dr. Michael Perlman. He's a well-known Boston area psychiatrist and a personal life strategist with a spiritual focus. And he's going to be talking to us today about the law of attraction and how it really works. He has a process. It's called the 4 Steps to Law of Attraction Journaling Mastery. Because, you know, we all hear, let's write it down. Let's put some things down on paper. Oh, gosh, if I hear that one more time, you know, it's like, I'm tired of hearing that. It's just not doing any good. What are you saying? And we start it, and we do it really earnestly for 2 or 3 weeks, and then we're like, you know, tear those papers out, shred them, and, hey, I've got a great notebook that's nice and clean and clear, and I'm ready to go. So really, let's talk about seeing what are we going to really do with our life. So, Dr. Perlman, thank you so much for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you, Jeanette. It's my pleasure to be with you.
Don't you think the world has totally changed, right?
I think it's always changing. It's process. Nothing stays still. Always we're kind of being born and then passing away and coming back again. Yes, nothing is constant. If you think it is, then you're deluded.
Yeah. And don't you think that those ones, you know, I mean, I'm not sure about your age, but I'm almost 60. And, you know, when I grew up, there were rules and regulations. This is what you did going forward. And that was the book, and it was already written. You really didn't have any peace of mind to be able to make any changes in it. And now here we are in this year's and these past few years, and people are saying, well, you can change your life, change your life. And some people are saying, this is so far-fetched. A lot of people are checking out, and they're saying, I'm done with this life.
Well, is that a question, or is that a damning statement about life on our times?
I think it's almost, I think we hear this, you know, in varying different waves, don't you think, from different people?
Well, I think I know. Different people are at different stages of their awakening evolutionary process. It's sort of like a caterpillar kind of looking up at the butterflies and thinks, geez, you wouldn't get me up in one of those things. So that caterpillar identity is what most people are born into because they've learned a certain way, a pattern. And then what happens is that is only goes so far, and at some point they enter their chrysalis. Some people never do, never feel the need to it. And that's fine. That's their life path. But there are those people that say there's got to be more. I mean, I can't just keep doing this caterpillar dance all day.
Right. And I think that's where your journaling is. It takes off right there. There has to be more. And how do they figure out what that more is or even what their next step is? I mean, I've heard people say, you know, I'm stuck in the door, you know, the doorway, the door is open. I've got my hand on the door is open, but my shoe must be stuck in the ledge because I just can't seem to, you know, fall into that other abyss that, you know, what is it about life, right?
Well, you're absolutely right. And it has been said that some of the creators and contributors of the Law of Attraction, including The Secret, have said that the Secret, and among others, never really taught people how to do this, how to get this. It all sounds good. It's sort of like all the other nice platforms and stories and meditate and be a good girl and good boy and wash your hands and, you know, look both ways before you cry, all those. But it just... You do it, but you don't feel it's getting you anywhere. The journaling is a very different approach. It is unique. And it simply takes what you're thinking and feeling about. So if you feel you're stuck in the door and it's not working, and then that starts as a topic for your journal, let's say. I mean, it doesn't, in other words, you have a concern, you have an issue, or you want to find out about what's wrong and you want to find out what to do about it, or perhaps even how you want to be, or you don't know. I mean, there are many stories and many patient experiences that people come to me for varied reasons, that they are lost, they're suffering, they're depressed, they're anxious. But many are also coming with, I'm not clear, I don't know what to do, I feel trapped, stuck. And they don't have an access to their butterfly nest, let's say. They just have this caterpillar, and they're miserable, but they know there's something more, and they want something more. Well, back to the question of why it's not working is that what was missing was the ability to really see what you think and feel and to really, let's say, reveal the truth about whatever it felt to you. And you really can't do it on an intellectual level. So I have, for example, David is a successful businessman, and he's miserable, and he is coming because he wants some advice and direction to deal with his drinking. Yeah. And then he's also lost his contact with why he started the business in the first place. And he's getting into arguments with his wife. He's not spending enough time at home. His drinking is sort of impairing him to some degree, and he's getting these arguments with his employees, associates, and so forth, and worried about productivity. Well, the long and the short of it is that what David did was once he opened his journal, and with my guidance or oversight, he picked a topic, and he could start with something like, he wrote down, I'm miserable. And and he started right. there. And as he expanded on the various ways you look at that misery, that call it that pain body, the painful caterpillar, it doesn't matter. Everyone's unique. And he started to see that he had all this negative energy and feelings. And as he became clearer and clearer and revealed more about the truth of what he thought and what he felt, I mean, it was his truth and nothing I could have. It wasn't my place to tell him. I only told him where to place the writing, and he got comfortable with that, and it was confidential. And he really started to say, you know, I really see I'm a very unhappy man. I'm in a way that was very different. He saw it, and that was missing. He saw his misery, his pain, and all the other behaviors with his wife and associates and the drinking were all part and parcel of that. I'm unhappy. And that's when the miracle happened. He also could see that this aspect of himself was not who he was. It was simply an aspect. If he had the experience of this identity called David, who was miserable. And then, in that space of clarity, he started to write about, gee, wouldn't it be nice if... You know, what I really prefer, or the thing I love about, or I started my business because I had all this excitement and energy, and he started to go on a rampage of what he loved in the various areas of his life, whether it's health, relationships, or his purpose, or business. And so he started to see that he was not a human being trying to get spiritual. He was indeed a spiritual being having this human experience. And the real magic is, as he started to reveal his feelings of what he wanted and what he didn't, he started to see his persona, his personality change. He became more relaxed. He became clear, more focused. And it wasn't so much that he was getting better. He was getting less caught up in some of that negative energy because he saw a path out. But it was all in his ability to really look at what he thought and felt and look at it from a third-person disposition. Is that making sense?
Absolutely. You know, I think sometimes when we have these experiences in life, let's use it as an example, a patient coming to me, like let's say they come to me and they say, my doctor can't fix me anymore. He told me just to go on and, you know, pack my bags that, you know, I was going to check out in 6 months. And, you know, I'm coming to you because you're my last ditch effort. Here's my check, and I need you to hurry up and make me better because I've got 2 weeks and I'm going on a vacation. You know,
right, because if
this is going to be the last part of my life, I need you to fix me. And you just look like that. You look and you go, you know, I mean, sometimes the best thing you can say is enjoy your vacation. Because, you know,
right. They're
not at that place where they believe that there's a responsibility in their life or be able to, you know, there are things in our life that are going to happen. We are going to be born. We're going to have tons of challenges. We're going to get sick. We're going to die, you know. And it just happens to be how much fuel or nutrition or how much oomph we put between each one of those things that are going on to be able to have it occur when it does. You know, we don't have a say when we die, but we certainly do have a say in how... sometimes how fast that might happen, you know. In other words, you know, do we want to keep drinking and wrecking our car? Do we want to go out and engage in negative behavior? Do we want to say, you know, I'm just done with this life and that's it? But sometimes if we can stop ourselves in those patterns and say, what are we really saying? Let's take domestic violence for an example. You know, when they keep hurting another person, that they say, oh, I'm hurting you, but I love you, right? And you turn around and you say, what are you willing to say? And what they're really trying to say is that they do not feel loved. They don't understand how maybe they witnessed domestic violence in their life and they saw other humans getting hurt and they thought that was how love looked like. So in other words, it's kind of like reversing the words that they're saying. You know, when you look at why you're driving your car and keep running it into the wall, maybe you're at a point where everything in your life that you've created isn't working and you're trying to shake it off. You're trying to get rid of it. So really, I think that's what you're saying, the journaling is, stand there and look at yourself, you know, look at yourself naked, decide what is going on in your life, decide what's going on in your head, and maybe evaluate that first.
Well, you said a great deal, and I mean, as a professional. I've been around the block with all that you've said and can absolutely identify it. It was at some point where I said, you know, either that person I work with, and I don't, it's, you know, if it's right for you or not, if you want to go on vacation, fine, but only unless you really want to commit to telling the truth about what's going on and literally reveal it by writing it down, we're not getting anywhere, you're not getting anywhere. Because until you truly see what the heck you think about moment to moment and get it clear and organized and then start to see and feel how you would like to be, you're hopelessly lost in the same reciprocating patterns. I mean, the only good news is if you had good parents and reasonable background, you can be reasonably miserable in this life. And mm-hmm. others have had much more horrible, and you others are much more terribly miserable. But you, the patient, I'm referring to the patient, can take charge of his or her life and destiny. And how do you do that? By telling the truth about what you think about it. And the journal is simply a potter's wheel that you throw the thought and words, and you can then reframe it. And you start to see that those thoughts, words, situations, circumstances are simply an identity, an experience, and that's all. And that you, from your consciousness, from that spiritual beingness that in truth you always already are, can reframe it. And you can change your experiences. But until you actually see how writing this thought and saying and feeling and seeing it, it's uncomfortable, and then really acknowledging it, that this is the experience that your thinking has created, and then how would you like it to be, and you start to see, well, that feels good. Well, wait a minute. And that's where we get into the steps. I mean, okay, what do you want? A hit in the head, or would you like to be sublimely flowing through life? Let me think.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of times when people come in, we always say that right now healthcare is really not doing supreme justice to be able to help people to be able to heal, but it's really just there to help kind of like take off the edge of some of those symptoms that are really raising their head. And when people come to people like myself or you, that which they finally bring to us is might be what they really would heal them. You know, a lot of times we say that which you don't bring in the office is exactly what's holding you back, or that which you don't say is exactly that which you're still hiding from. You think from everyone, but it's really from yourself, and you're kind of denying its presence.
Well, I'm going further, really, Jeanette, and I don't talk to them anymore about that. I simply say, are you willing to really look at what's going on and tell the truth? And tell the truth not only about what's going on with your ego, your identity, what's, you know, your personality. Are you also willing to tell the truth about what your heart desires, what you're wholeheartedly here to experience and express and create? And if they can say yes, but then we invite them to use the journal, and they'll do it or they won't. But those that do, are ready to do it or inspired to do it, will start to take charge of their life and have a path forward. So I really don't change them or fix them. I sort of offer an opportunity for them to learn a path to do that through what's missing in the law of attraction and what's missing in traditional, let's say, therapies or approaches. And I would back to a comment about the medical. The whole medical field, and now the government intrusion, I would say, into it, is all about a whole nother game and has nothing whatsoever to do with the essence of a human being, which is a spiritual being having a human experience. Until that's carried out and balanced and appreciated, they're just changing deck chairs in the Titanic.
And isn't really the current medical paradigm that which just keeps your physical body here a little bit longer until your spiritual self decides to figure it out? And, you know, I think that's where a lot of the rush at the end of life, you know, oh, hurry up, I have to say finally what my soul has to say, or I have to let my spirit just finally feel free, or those bucket lists that you write up, you know? I think that's pretty much where that's at.
Well, it's a statement of the evolution of our planet, and that most people are lost in their identities, their paradigms, their, you know, their religious fanaticism or their beliefs, or they, and the people that serve them are only a chapter or two ahead of awakening with them. So it's really, they're all on that level, being lost and getting confused. And there are a few people that teach it and offer it. The law of attraction is simply reformulating old ancient teachings. And it is wonderful and lovely, and it's absolutely true and accurate. The missing thing is when, let's say, someone like David, you could talk all you want, read all the books, but until he came to terms with what he felt that was uncomfortable, and he realized that was simply a creation, an aspect of him, and that he was connected to much more, then the sky was unlimited, the opportunity was unlimited, the expanded consciousness was available. In other words, it's bringing people back again and again. Do you want to take responsibility for your life? Are you willing to do what you need to do? And that means for this particular program is literally tell the truth about what you think about and tell the truth how you feel and what would feel better. And I've seen endless people I've met that just cannot reveal the truth and just want to fix, and that's okay. And there are those that have come in and been really honest to themselves, not to me, about what they felt and thought, and they saw it, and they saw it from that third-person perspective, and in that perspective they could open up, and as they start to work with it, priorities developed, things became clearer and clearer, and they entered more in the realm of being, and then having, and then doing was the least of it. They move from, let's say, the pain to self-realization to self-actualization. They're in charge of their life and designing their life. I'm sorry, Jeanette.
And I think that's really why you always end up with a blank journal in the beginning, because really everybody is such an individual. We try so hard in the healthcare profession, you know, the medical community. They memorize this, that, and the other that's going to, quote, you know, heal people and cure people. And they think they have this lock on the word of, I'm going to cure you, I'm going to fix you, I'm going to, you know, make your wildest dreams come true, you know, when really it's all a bunch of hogwash, because when you really come down to it, it's your own blank book that's going to do it. It has nothing to do with all of that other stuff.
Well, it's your willingness to use that space and that time and the structure of the journal in that blank book is to literally start to reveal what is the energy and information of your life, whether wanted or unwanted. And as you get clearer and clearer and sorted out, you start to intuitively move into a higher and higher vibration. Wait a minute, I don't want that. Wouldn't it be nice to have this? And you get clearer and clearer. And I would also say that even if you were to write down these thoughts and get clearer, we have some prompts, the ways to think about them, and various steps, which we can go over, of looking at your life. They give you more and more assurance and more learning of how to work with the energy and information of your life, and then just erase it, you see? Because it's not holding on to the beliefs, the attitudes, the thoughts. Your soul knows exactly what has emerged and will be right there again, except now you, as this identity, are less and less, but you're now merging more and more with, let's say, more embodied as that consciousness who knows that he or she is here to dance in the physical world and be of service.
And also, all of that past experience really doesn't have to hang around. You know, your past story doesn't need to be your imprint. You know, so many, you know, I find that when people are really, really sick, you know, they will continue to say, I remember, I wish, I thought, and use all of those past verbiage, and they're stuck in it.
The issue with there, Jeanette, is they're stuck in it because they have not been willing to really go into it and tell the truth, the honesty of how powerless they are, how miserable they are, how lost, and to really explore that depth of their miserable, of that painful experience. And many people have awful, awful experiences. But it's simply entering into that dark night of the soul by your thoughts, your words, and as you feel it, you see it. And something, by the writing it down, it gets outside you. It has less energy, less control. And somehow, as you feel it, and maybe you grieve, you mourn, you're sad. However, what's happening is it's being dissipated. That pain body, that experience. So it's even though you tell people, well, don't hang on to those old tapes. Well, they look at you like, yeah, that's a good idea, but then they go off and have another drink, you see? Because they don't know what else to do. But this is a really a direct path to, if you want to tell the truth about what you feel, what you're about, what you're currently attracting in your life, then this journaling effort is a path. And getting clear of that, no matter how awful, and you don't do it necessarily in the first few journaling episodes, but you get clearer and clearer. And then what happens, there's space, there's room for you to start to move around to maybe, well, how would I like things to be? Wouldn't it be nice if the thing I prefer is, gee, I remember having whatever, whatever. And that starts to move in you more and more. Let's say the spirit comes in, the light comes in. And but the writing down even of that, the personality, writing about that starts to see it, and somehow that identity becomes more subdued, lessened, if you like. It becomes, rather than a cruel master, your identity, your physical form in this life becomes a very good servant. It guides you like a GPS.
And it's also about being able to be in touch with that, too. Sometimes you have to disconnect from the influences in your life. Let's say if a mother is trying to do it and her kids are just totally acting out at every corner, she has to set herself and her time separate from that to be able to work through this. Or if you're in a negative situation in your life, or if you're at work, you don't try to sit down and do this at work at a job that you hate. You probably should be doing this at a different time in a space that's just for you, right?
Well, yes, sort of, kind of, Jeanette. It's that when you're telling a distraught mother who's overwhelmed with kids and she wants to do a good job of mothering and have a life, that the action steps are really the last part of it. It's really being honest about how miserable and what's not yet quite right in her life and really telling the truth about that. And then as she starts to see that, get a little clearer of that and start to organize all that stuff that's, you know, that's undone, discordant, and then there's an opening to explore how she'd like to be, what she'd like to have, and then what happens, the actions become more intuitive. And we talk about taking reasonable, harmonious actions. If you say to people, well, why don't you quit your job, or why don't you divorce, or why don't you, you know, just get the state involved with the kid, you know, I mean, whatever, but they're not ready for that. They aren't clear yet. And we talk about our four steps, and maybe I could talk about that to show you what people learn. And as they start to reveal their thinking and what they want and don't want, are their four steps, and they're appreciating contrast, and the second step is the first step, appreciating contrast. The second step is being clear, and the third step is creating a compelling vision or being a conscious creator. And knowing yourself as a conscious creator. And the fourth step is simply surrendering to the process, your process, balancing your serenity and your passion, and taking only those reasonable and harmonious actions that will allow you to move in the direction your heart desires and handle those things undone, the ego's interpretation and fear and doubt that's not quite right yet. So we start with getting the exercise, getting clear why we talk about what's not right and how you'd like things to be. It's simply developing a capacity by sharing what's going on, what's the thinking, feeling, circumstances, people, places, things, that contrasting those things that are discordant, problematic. It's just the feeling. It's not necessarily a judgment. It's just simply what feels good, uncomfortable. And then try to get clearer about what feels better or what you love and enjoy, and all people have had experiences of loving, heart-filled, joyful times. So that contrast is you're starting to now separate the human being experience of what's not yet quite right, the things undone, the judgments, the opinions, and you will quickly see, if you as you work the journal, those are somewhat discordant and uncomfortable. And contrasting that with that being free, being comfortable, being flowing, being, I don't know, feeling a sense of abundance and fullness and passion and joy. Those are clear feelings, and the contrast becomes more and more stark, more and more clear. And that, getting that is your first step in our programming. And the second step is in that clarity, as you're clear, really being clear of what is discordant, what you're mad about or you're angry or whatever it is, let's say with the kids at home or the drinking of the wife or the work. And then being also clear of how you'd like to be. It's a very different level of a conscious connection. It's a more certainty, clarity. And then once you start to get clear about what's uncomfortable and not wanted and discordant, and getting clear of how you'd like things to be, then you can move into getting more and more expansive, download more and more what you prefer, how you'd like things to be, what you'd like to have in the various areas of your life or whatever the focus that you have in the unique way that you're meant to show up in this life and express that divine consciousness. And then finally, and not finally, but it's always going round and round and catching it again and again until it's wired in, that sense that your life is perfect just the way it is. And getting that, even though the outward situations are not quite right and they're rather appalling in some cases, however, it is indeed perfect because you're simply appreciating it just as it is. And you're perfecting it, and we perfect it by first appreciating the contrast, being clear, getting clear how we want things to be and expanding on that, and literally surrendering that it's all right. And what might I do today, if anything? Oh, yes, I think I'm going to have a consultation with a lawyer, or I think I'm going to order some books on this or that. You see, I'm going to take 10 minutes each day, and even if I'm locking myself in the bathroom and doing meditation or prayer or writing my journal. And so as they get more and more, let's say, unconsciously competent about these, they develop to their happy amazement a sense of joy that they're wearing life as a loose garment. And it all starts with them taking responsibility of what their thoughts, feelings are, because that's your touchstone.
I think sometimes when you're, let's say, as an example of a parent, and you have your kids and they're running wild in the house, and you're saying, you know, oh, I just don't want to listen to this anymore, and you go on and on. However, if you really look at that too, and you could say, what do I really want? I really want my kids to be able to run around outside and enjoy themselves, and me not to have to sit here and, you know, worry about maybe cleaning up the house when tomorrow I know it's still going to be dirty in the same way again. So then the parent can just take themselves out of that situation, say, let's go outside, let's enjoy it, and hey, that house is going to look the same today as it's going to tomorrow. What's the difference? And letting go of some of that. Sometimes I think we put a lot on ourselves, and we carry that as our belief or what we are expecting, when it really doesn't have to be. You can be free to let some of that go.
But you see, as you describe this, Jeanette, your logic is impeccable, it's reasonable, but what is missing in getting people or having people learn this is they really are not revealing what the pain is, what's not quite right yet, and literally writing it down and seeing that. So it's not an intellectual exercise, because otherwise if you leave it to your mind, you'll get whipsawed till sundown.
Right. So how would that parent change that? Can you walk through that? Because I think there's always a lot of people, almost everyone's stuck there.
Hold on. Yes, you absolutely can change it. But you can't change it by thinking about it and doing clever things and going to Weight Watchers and maybe reading the Law of Attraction and all that's good things. And they're all wonderful. what we're contending, I'm contending, that unless and until you tell the truth about what you think, put it down, see it, feel it, no matter how uncomfortable or discordant, and stay with it. And then what happens, you find by the writing of it down, the energy information that of that situation becomes clearer. It becomes less corrosive. It has less energy to it. And in that space of becoming clearer and seeing it, you have the room now to start to get clearer about how you like things to be, how you want to be personally, and how you want to be as a mother or a father, or how you want to be in terms of what your service is of the world. And it gets clearer and clearer. Now, then with that, that person will have a much better shot at practically finding a path to say this or that to the kids, or maybe even by being aware of that to set the stage to, maybe if there's a husband there or not, to sort of a talk with the kids, or start practicing interrupting the emergence of a discord, because now she knows that's uncomfortable. And it, let me tell you this little analogy we use. It's the shower analogy, and it's simply that when you're in the shower and you're having a good time and you're washing and having shampooing and whatever, and then the water pressure temperature or temperature changes. Well, that's startling and takes you out of the reverie. And now what you do is simply you adjust the taps. You don't jump out and have a drink or buy a gun or, you see, or rip the pipes out of the wall. You have a method of harmoniously, reasonably shifting the energy flow. But you cannot do that when you're in the middle of a situation like a board meeting or a situation at home where the kids are going crazy and you're going crazy, unless and until you've done that practice with appreciating contrast, being clear, becoming clearer of how you'd like things to be, and create a vision or knowing how you'd like things to be, have, and be doing. And then you know that easy does it, you'll try it again. And with the kids, and set the stage and during that day, and slowly but surely as your voice emerges, your clarity of what you really want, and knowing what's discordant and you're not, the tail isn't wagging the dog, so you can say, all right, kids, I think this is a time, I don't know what you say, nap time, or get the hell out of the house, or, you know, let's go play, or I'll go out with you, or you know what I'm saying? You'll know what to say. But only then, and you can intellectualize it, it's a point of knowing. And that's another point here, is that what you start to see is all the discord you're feeling, all the unhappiness and suffering, is because you have some ideas and beliefs and attitudes, and much of it is not necessarily your own. It comes from a default, what's imprinted by your parents. If your parents are not evolved and awakened, it's probably you're going to be more maladapt at, you know, handling life situations. And yet, even those who have wonderful parents still can feel the misery because they haven't found that missing way to get free of the bondage of that old identity and come back to their essence, their source. So we're moving along a wide field, but it starts with that one willingness to reveal that thought and look at it and feel it and see it and then reveal it. It's not good. Okay, well, what would feel better? And that's all. Until you have your thinking, and your thinking becomes more of a GPS, like that good servant, but then you say, well, you know, I'll do this today, or I'm going to do that, or I'll do it tomorrow, and you're more in charge of your life. Is that
right? Because a lot of people try to change it, like let's say that parent, and they will be like, I don't want them crazy in the house, let's go crazy outside. So you've just done is you've just changed the terrain. You haven't changed anything within your feelings or your situation or anything that's going on. So the kids still think, then kids are going to start thinking, if I'm crazy in the house, mom's going to take us outside and we can go crazy out there. So they then think, this is how an action and a reaction is going to occur, and that's their imprint. So, you know, that's how those things get perpetuated forward.
Well, it's that you're still in the domain of the thinking. Well, I'll do this. Mm-hmm. I'll punish them. I'll do behavior therapy. Maybe the kids need ADD meds, and we got a doctor to give me blah blah blah.
Right.
I need a tranquilizer. I need Klonopin to help me get through the day, or I need a drink. But they're still locked in the human being construct, which it's not bad. It's just that the tail is wagging the dog, rather than really tell the truth about what they feel. And allow that opening to another way of being. So it will not change. It's not simply that they're changing anything in their life. They may have kids that need ADD meds or not, but they're seeing life from a new way of being, from a more relaxed, harmonious, you know, addressing item by item that's aligned with what you're here for.
Right. Can you share with us the difference between that heart and that ego, which is exactly what you're saying right there? That's exactly
yes.
what you're
yes.
describing. Can you say it again in a different way? Sometimes some people need a different,
Absolutely.
Two or three different
Absolutely.
Ways of different words.
Right, right. Exactly. I could say it any number of ways because it's always the same conversation. It's either what's wanted or what's not wanted. It's either the crucifixion or the resurrection. It's either the human being form and identity and the limited, you know, worldview, or it's coming from a more expansive, opened, holistic, you know, sense of being that we're all, you know, we're all connected to one another from a field of compassion and knowing. So it's, again, the language. Each religion has its own unique language, and that pisses people off, you see?
Mm-hmm.
But we're really not talking religions or software programs, or this type of program, or the law of attraction, or maybe it's a meditation, or all sorts of wonderful people, or you can go to the New Testament and, you know, and do all those wonderful things. But until and unless you see that this is about you, your experience, that experience is unique to you, and you're here, if you so choose, to tell the truth, to awaken to what's really going on. It may start with something unpleasant, but as you get clearer and clearer about that, the sky opens. You start to feel lighter. You start to see the stars. You start to see the moon, the sun, and so forth. Those things become more, and you know yourself as that. So heart's desire is simply a nice shorthand we use. That heart is pretty clear. It's not emotional or anything particularly. It's not tainted with anything. It's simply when you love something, you love it. When your heart mm-hmm. is satisfied, you know you're in a very safe and special and loving, free, happy place. And everyone knows about the other side of it. Call it the ego. Call it the self, the identity. I mean, the human experience, the circumstances, all those are the same too. But again, it comes back to the realization that we are indeed spiritual beings having a human experience. Other people have got it backwards. They think they're a caterpillar or a human being or just miserable and a victim, and they've got to do this, and that's valid and accurate, but it's nowhere near the truth of what is available for them in this universe and this life experience.
And I think you hear it sometimes in people's sounds when they say, "You hurt me," or "I have this disease," you know,
yes,
or
yes, yes.
"My gosh, why am I always getting sick?" You know, those are some of the common words I hear almost daily. You know,
yeah. Well,
and it's
yep.
outside of yourself again.
Well, I have PTSD, or I'm a bipolar. Or I'm an alcoholic
mm-hmm.
or whatever, you know, I'm an abused
mm-hmm.
spouse. Right? I mean, those are certain unpleasant circumstances, and I listen and I'm kind of amused in the sense, not that I'm laughing at them, but it's like the caterpillar is telling me what his doctor's psychiatric report is. You see what I mean? And I'm
mm-hmm.
laughing in a sense because, well, is that what you want to stay at? I mean, do you know there's another way? And at least you can say you're pretty miserable and whatever that. Would you like another way of looking at things? And some do and some don't. Some are terrified. Some want to continue, you know, carrying on with their label.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's there are so many different varying degrees of humans on this earth that we have to honor every single one of them in the place that they're in, because I think that's also part of their learning or awakening at their own level. So let's say a person comes in and, you know, granted we may believe that there's a certain process that they would really set them free, and we know that. But if they don't choose that, we still can be a person who can be compassionate or empathic or listening or in hearing, and also just being present for them, because sometimes then that really comes down to what they're really looking for is someone to listen or someone to hear them or someone to validate that they're even a person speaking. Sometimes some people are living lives where they don't feel heard. Their husband doesn't listen to them. Their kids don't listen to them. And they hate to go to work because they feel like, you know, a little ant on the grass kind of idea. So it's all such a really, it's a different experience. I mean, this whole world, when you really open up and see all of the different things that are going around.
Well, I think, Jeanette, there are some things I would talk to you about colleague to colleague, and I work with some social workers and other professionals,
mm-hmm.
and it's really, it's getting that, like all human beings are expressing there in this life, like a snowflake has a unique crystalline structure,
right?
And yet it's all the same frozen water. And every psychiatric patient has his or her diagnosis. The psychiatric industry has its, everyone has a unique, you know, label. I can go look you up and you can look me up and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point you get to know that it's simply frozen water. It's simply holding on to old ideas. Now comes the question, it's not about saying we as a profession or we as a society, as we as a government,
mm-hmm.
it's simply each individual saying, this is who I am, this is how I want to be, this is the conversation I want to have with people. And so from that integrity and authenticity of clarity, someone comes to you, like in my case, for example, they come and I'll work with them and I do, but at the interest for me is, do you want to really become free of this and tell the truth and write this out and use the journal? You see, now,
uh-huh.
it's not for everybody, but I am clear what will be my heart's desire and how I'm going to be of service in the unique way I'm meant to be of service. And those people that are aligned with that and want to do that get tremendous benefits. They then take on those skills that I have and expand it in their own unique way. And if it's not the conversation they want, they simply want a medication or they want someone to
right.
reaffirm their victim identity, well, I'm not the guy for you. And that's okay,
uh-huh.
You see? So I'm calling
right.
upon, it's not about making generalized statements about the world is this, insurance has changed, and Obamacare, blah, blah, blah. That's
uh-huh.
beside the point. When I work with one soul with his or her unique experience and they are willing to write down what they feel in the various topic or what they want or what they don't want, and they become clearer about the contrast, you see, of what's going on, and they start to imagine more what they prefer and start to expand more on that, they start to relax, and eventually they get to know themselves as a spiritual being, whatever words they use, and I don't care what they use, as long as they know what they know, and then move through life at their way. They're meant to move through life at their pace and direction.
Well, Dr. Michael, we're coming to the end of the show. I was wondering, though, if you could talk about one last topic, and we hear this a lot. Well, if I'm going to attract or create, and some people attract and wish to create material things, they still are missing mm-hmm. the boat.
Well, yes, no, maybe. See, again,
mm-hmm.
if we pick up the themes, if they reveal what their, let's say, lack of money or their felt sense they don't have enough or they're envious or jealous or missing and they feel whatever it is
mm-hmm.
about people that feel they'd like to be financially independent, for example, then they start to see their degree of impoverishment, their judgment, and how, what, why, and they are clear of it. And then they open up from that they sense that there is abundance in life. There is a sense of plenty. And then as they get clear about that feeling and that they become that vibration of abundance and openness and fullness and the absence of lack, let's say, and then in that fullness and abundance and sense of joy, then, well, how would I like to be of service? What would be a nice way that I could offer in my way to be of service? And what happens? Not only are they attracting the abundance from their being, that there's everything is there for them, their table is prepared before them, but then they can start to be maybe more specific. Maybe they are meant to, you know, gather through their unique service a lot of money, but either way, they're clear to expand and work on the world in that harmonious, reasonable way. And money drops away. And yet they may find more and more money coming in. But it's not of the ego. It's not of that lack. Because that will never get satisfied. What will get satisfied is that part of them that answers the question of their lack to say, yeah, I'd like to be free and abundant.
Absolutely. It's not just about thinking about it. It's feeling it and sensing it.
Right.
And
yes. And the same thing with relationships. It's until and unless you feel missing a loved one or you feel you don't have a soulmate or you don't. It's until you access the experience of love and loving and be love yourself, then you start attracting love and you attract people that want to be with you, and then the chances exponentially expand about finding that soulmate that will share that being love with you.
So if we go right back full circle to the beginning of this conversation, we said about being stuck inside the door with your heel and your hand on the door opening it up and your heel stuck in the jamb of the door. If you really look at it, once you do fall into that abyss is such a wonderful place, because that abyss now means that you're free of all of that that you thought.
Mm-hmm.
You're free of all of that that you believed, or you're free of all of that that might have been an imprint on you. You're now free to be able to use your journaling and be on the white pages again, right?
Yes, well, the white page is simply a way to hold your thoughts so you do the work
uh-huh.
of shaping and refining and clarifying, editing, reframing, you see. And then, but the words that you say, the knowledge of those words will give you the essence of what you want. You see, it's one thing to
uh-huh.
write about the scent of a rose garden reaching you. But as soon as I say that, you start to get an imagery, a feeling, a knowing of the scent of a rose garden. Everyone has some memories of it. See, you're entered a different domain.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the power of literally getting the knowledge of your words and the meaning, both good and bad, and then you start to see yourself as that creator, that spiritual being who is in charge of his or her life.
Well, Dr. Michael, it has been a pleasure to have you with us here on this show. I think this is definitely a show that the listeners will play and replay, because then they'll be able to, maybe something will stir inside of you, something we've said that potentially you'd say, okay, now I'm maybe understanding, and maybe I can go to your website and find out more about your law of attraction journaling. Can you give us a little bit more information about your website and how people could find out more information? That would be great.
Absolutely. It's completely free. And we're really what you might call a beta test. We want people to join in and get clear about the language we might use or the tools that
right.
might be even more and more helpful. It's called Law of Attraction Journaling, lawofattractionjournaling.com. And you can open up the webpage. There's all sorts of information. And the sign up for the journal, you just give your email address and a name and have your own password. No one accesses your journal. You can download it, work on your home PC. And we have Thursday coaching seminars every Thursday, 5 p.m. Eastern time. And so it's a way that people can literally walk the talk. In other words, really test it for themselves. And you can intellectualize it and make sense. But until you sort of get the journal, open up, and literally try that and literally experience that path of literally revealing what you're thinking rather than staying stuck in it,
mm-hmm.
then that's our offer.
Well, that was absolutely wonderful. You know, Dr. Michael, I think that it would be great if people could go there and open up that journal. And like you said, have your own password and everything. So many people are afraid to put things out on a piece of paper
that might be left
somewhere else or someone else might access it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is your deepest, darkest thoughts. And when sometimes, as we've said on the show, that which keeps you from healing is exactly that which you hide. And when you're hiding that, now you'll be free to be able to let that open up and maybe crack that egg, right?
Yes. Well, that's what we want. We want to offer a safe place, completely confidential, and yet a way that people can address something that's really been missing in traditional law of attraction or therapies, and that they can start to take charge of their life. In other words, they're not picking up anyone else's, you know, story or lines, although it's nice to have all these nice sayings and all. But they get out of their thinking and see what they're feeling and what their heart desires, and also see what's going on and what they're here to be and have and be doing.
Well, Dr. Michael, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure to have you with us. I'm sure your words will help many people listening.
Well, I hope not only my words, but words will be attractive enough so people literally go try it for themselves and bring them to that experience, but so they get it. That's what's more important, is that they see there's a way out, there's a path to be free.
Great. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. It's been a pleasure having you with us.
It's my pleasure, and thank you very much, Jeanette, and all the very best to you and your listeners, and all the best for this year. And I hope it's an exciting and a spiritually awakening, joyous year for everyone.
And you as well, and thank you.
Thank you.
If you'd like to find out more information about Dr. Michael Perlman, his information is on the bottom of today's show page. The link is there directly to his website. And you'll be able to, as Dr. Michael has said, start your own journaling right now. You'll be able to find out some information on how the process will occur. It will walk you through some of the steps, and really do try it. I'll tell you, we have all of these things that go on in our head. It's like a myriad of dust in your head. You know, I think, I know, I don't, I this, I that. And then you get up and you say, what was I thinking? I don't know what I was thinking. And we get so stuck all the time, we just can't seem to see the weeds through the trees, you know? So please do try out Dr. Michael Perlman's journaling. It is a great adventure into how you live your life, how would you like to live your life, and maybe how you can make some changes. So thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. It's been a pleasure, and have a great day. Thank you so much for joining us today here on Alternative Medicine and Wellness. It has been a pleasure to be with you, and we hope you found more information that will be able to make your life just a little bit easier. You know, it's not an easy trip all the time in this life, and sometimes we say, you know, if I could just maybe hear it from somebody else, or maybe hear that someone else's story might be similar to mine, or maybe just gain a few extra tips to make my journey a little bit easier. Please join us on Health Blast Radio every day for the year 2015, where we will be having so many different practitioners, all kinds of authors, just regular people like you and I, having a casual conversation about a different topic almost every day. Check out our website for more information on the Women Over Age 50 group. It is drjeanettegallagher.com. You can always just Google my name, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and you will find out so much more information about upcoming radio shows, about other websites I have, other programs we are currently doing. And if you just need help, please pick any of the websites, any of the links, and send me a private message. Thank you so much for joining us today on Health Blast Radio. It's been an absolute pleasure, and please, just in the morning, before you reach for that cell phone, or the television remote, or even your glasses, open your eyes and say, thank you, God, for another day. It's been a pleasure. And have a great day.